the joys, the struggles. This is life, and just a blessing to be here. I love the music. Thank you all, wherever the other ones are. I love the music. Thank you. Just a joy, and yeah, Herb, you are fighting a losing battle, brother.
Thank you for your affirmation,
Susan. Yes, yeah. So Susan and I are united. We are united. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here. Like Herb said, you know, there's something more for all of us. There is something more. We never have Jesus right there. We never have him like, okay, we got you. He said, no, there's something more. And indeed, there is always something more. So that's what I do want to share with you today. And the song, you know, He is good. Oh, He is good. So if you hang on, let's roll now. Let's roll with the Holy Spirit and let's go. And may we open up with prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the blessing of the family of God being here under this roof. Father, I thank you for the joys that I've had since I've been down here, and my eyes have been opened, my heart has been opened, and Father God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you that we're family even before I saw them, and thank you for the way that you work, Lord Jesus, and thank you for the hearing of your word. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces us. It gets to us, and sometimes we don't want to hear what we read. We don't want to acknowledge it, but Lord Jesus, you keep our eyes focused on the word, the written word, the rhema, but also the logos, the word of God made flesh. And so the word, Lord Jesus, we're coming to you now, and maybe we hear things that we've never heard before, or we have, and may we hear them with new eyes, new ears, new hearts, new minds. Transform us now by the hearing of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll be reading one from the Old Testament, one from the New, Isaiah. Just a little bit about Isaiah. I know probably all of you know that Isaiah was a prophet of Judah. And Isaiah was speaking to the people who loved God, loved Yahweh at one time. And then just as things kind of trickled down, their own thoughts, their own desires, their ears were tickled. Oh, I like what's going on over there. Or God really hasn't done what I wanted him to do. So what else can fill my need and satisfy me? And what was happening over the eons? This nation was following after other gods. Gods that were handmade, not the God. So I'm going to read that. And we're going to hear God talking to a barren woman, so to speak. But the barren woman are people without God. And God is saying, but I will love you nevertheless, and I will make you mine. That's the first reading. And then we're going to read something that from Ephesians that Paul wrote. So let me read Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 8. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy. You were never in labor, because you are the children of the desolate woman, than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The one of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with deep compassion, I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then from Ephesians, and this is again the Apostle Paul speaking of the way that we used to be. And now, in the Lord Jesus, this is how God's love is poured out to us. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. When Jesus Christ came down to earth, it was after many years, and we believe there were 400 years of God's silence between the Old and the New Testament. And you know, we read in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. In the fullness of time. It wasn't God going, okay, I'm just going to wait for you guys to finally get on the right track, and then I'll do something. But in the fullness of God's time, he sent forth a son. And so Jesus came as a babe, you know, and he grew, and he became our Savior, and he always was our Savior. But as a man, and he did what he did, he went to the cross, he shed his blood, he died, he was raised from the dead, he was resurrected, he ascended at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and he will come again. And meanwhile, we're living in a time where he is not with us, but he is, and on and on. So, you know, who are we in all of this? Who are we? Well, Jesus came to show all of us. He came in the flesh. God in the flesh. No other religion has ever even thought about doing that. And so Jesus came in the flesh. And by his coming, he showed us intimacy with God. Intimacy with God, the Creator, the Blesser, the Redeemer. Intimacy that you would know him. Well, Jesus came to show us intimacy and purpose. Along with his coming, to give us an idea of intimacy with God and purpose, he also set up some conditions and challenges. So that's what happened, and for our benefit, for our eternal life. Well, it's a love story. And so many people have talked about this love story as the sacred romance. Sacred, it's all by itself. It can never be repeated. It never was. It is, and it still is. Sacred romance. Well, with a sacred romance, as we know, this incredible love story of Christ in the flesh to give us intimacy and purpose with challenges and conditions, we have the sacred romance, which is right here. God drawing us to himself. It's perfect. The love is perfect. Of course we'd want it. So like other love stories, we have the man and the woman coming together, and it's the romance. Oh, it's I said it earlier, ooey gooey. It's wonderful. So we have the perfect romance right here. Well, if you've ever read a love story, there is a subplot, and the subplot is woven underneath the perfect love story of the man and woman. Other stuff comes in. Other stuff like other loves and lovers, other attractions. Oh, yeah, I love you, but gee, I really love my job a whole bunch, because at my job, I'm exalted. I'm top dog at my job, so, you know, I love you, but, or, gee, I've never really wanted this small house I live in. I want that house over there. Oh, I love you, don't worry, I'll never leave you. Oh, no, I'll never leave you, but that's pretty good over here. So this sub plot becomes the main story. We've lost this. And what happens with the main story, which is a subplot? The subplot becomes our main story. Where's our first love? Where's our first love? So what's going on in here? What's happening between the divine romance here and the subplot, which took the place of the main story? So the sacred romance is now underneath, and the subplot is what we're looking at. Other things, other gods, other idols, other thoughts, other people, other possessions, other stuff, other me. And so what's going on in here? What is happening in here? Well, if I've lost my first love, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he is my all in all, and I'm looking, I like this a little bit better, because all the stuff I want isn't happening, so I like this guy up here. And so I'm filling my stuff with things that don't satisfy. God created us to love him, to be filled with him, and him only. Only him. And so when we start putting in things here and there that are temporal, they're transitory, they don't last, they disappear, they're a puff of wind. They don't hold water. Like it says, you know, a waterless cloud. You know, a farmer sees a cloud and they go, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And it's a waterless cloud. Oh. And what happens here with the divine romance, the sacred romance, our subplot, which is now the main story, what's happening in here? All the junk, all the stuff we're filling now becomes desirable. Are all of our desires good? Sometimes those desires become sins in themselves, and all this stuff in here, some of that can become sin that is okay. It's okay. And the Lord is, no, come to me. When God has created us, he created us with that void. Somebody wonderful said it, and I'm too old to remember. So somebody said, and it's true, we hear it in Lamentations, that God has given us a knowledge, a heart, soul knowledge of the infinity, of something else that goes on. That something else can only be filled by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, plain and simple. So all the other stuff that we're filling in here is, I can blow it away. It's not going to last. We are looking for the finite, the infinite. The finite is in here. We're looking for the infinite, the call of the Lord, the purpose of God, not just to satisfy our needs, but to be kingdom builders, kingdom makers, people who are going out and doing the work of the Lord because they've been called. What do we do? How do we transfix or correct what's going on in here? We're good people. What do we do? When we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, and I pray in his lovely, gracious name, everyone here has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. And I just pray that everyone knows that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And so when we do that, there are, you know, the Lord made me, Marina, with all my, you know, who I am. And yet he made me for his purpose and for intimacy. And when I gave my life to the Lord, there were things about me that I kind of liked. You know, I didn't think I was so bad. And, not so bad, but I thought, well, I'm acceptable. And so I did give my life to the Lord. And I put God, I did all my God stuff. I put it right here. I went to church. Oh, I read the scriptures fervently every morning before I went to work. I prayed. I had fellowship with wonderful body of believers. So I did all those things daily. Daily I did them. And on Sunday, I had my whole Sunday was locked up with doing, you know, being with my brothers and sisters in church. And so come Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, after I did my God thing, I would take my shower and go to work. And while I was at work, work was work. And I wasn't crazy about it, but I didn't let my God life fill into my marina life. And I was unhappy in my job. I was happy in life because I could go back to church, but I thought, oh, what's going on? What's, you know, I still had this part in here. The sacred romance was coming up, but it didn't cover the subplot. And I was aware of it. I had to be aware of it. As a Christian, I didn't want to be unhappy. I wanted to be joyful in my job. And so things happen, and I want to say that the Lord showed me. But there's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I would like to paraphrase for you. And it's kind of a tough quote, and it's something that I think we all need to hear. And he starts out saying that, you know, the Lord Jesus loves you. He loves you. And does everybody know C.S. Lewis here? He wrote, Narnia series, you know, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me just say this. C.S. Lewis was a life so far removed from God, so far. He was intellectual. You know, he knew how the world worked. And he was just a professor and just, I have no need of God. Pow! The Lord just appeared day and night. I don't even know if he knew of a sacred romance, but he was way up here. And when the Lord came, boom, the sacred romance became all he was about. It was about Jesus. He gave his life. He knew that the Lord was his keeper, his lover, his redeemer, his savior. And he had a passion for Jesus Christ. Well, as he reflected on his previous life without Jesus, his words were like this. Jesus is calling all of you. Jesus is calling each one of you, whether you are in Christ or are not in Christ. And Jesus is saying this to you. I don't want just part of you. Like when I was, you know, I put God in my box. I did all the right things. Oh, I did. I read the scriptures several times through. I did not know Jesus. I knew about him. Oh, I knew all about him. But I did not know him. So God was in this box. And this is what C.S. Lewis is saying. There was this glorious relationship over here where C.S. Lewis is saying, transform yourself. So he goes on to say, he said, Jesus is talking to us. I just don't want part of your tree. I just don't want your branch. I don't want just, you know, part of your foliage. I want all the tree. And he goes on and he makes other comments like that. I don't want just part of your mourning. I want all of your mourning. And so, he, you know, C.S. Lewis goes on like that. And then he says, I want all of you. All. What else can I say but all? And as I read on, he said, when you give me all your thoughts, all your darkness, all your whatevers, then here's what I'm going to do for you. And this is the glory. Jesus said, when you give me your all, your essence, everything, here's what I will do for you. I will fill you with myself. Your will become my will. That doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen. For some it may. It doesn't happen. It's a lifelong process. Are you willing to hand over everything? It's a process. And I still, like when he was talking, when C.S. Lewis was talking about the tree, don't just give me one branch, give me the whole tree. And I thought, well, I kind of have a couple twigs. I really kind of like Jesus, so can I hang on to them? And he said, I want your twigs. I want your bark. I want everything. And even, and I've said this, like I can be really silly and like a clown, and I have been all of my life. I mean, just a dumb clown. But I like being silly. So, and this is true. So in talking to Jesus, I said, Lord Jesus, could I kind of keep my clownhood? And not my hood that I put on, but I mean just being a clown. And I thought, I don't want to give up being silly. I really don't. And he said, give it to me. Give it to me. I went, oh, do I have to be straight-laced? He said, give me your clown. Give me your clown personality. Okay. And what happened? I'm the best clown in Buchanan. I'm still a clown. I really am. But in my clowniness, it's for Jesus. It's for Jesus. It's joy. Do not be afraid. And we read that. Do not be afraid. You will not be barren when you give me your all. You will not be that barren woman who has no children. You will be full of vitality. You will be full of life. You will change the world for Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God will never be the same. This cluster, your church, Bethany, has made an impact. And I said this, Herb drove me around the county, all around the county, well, not all around the county, but this area. And my eyes were open. You all are changing the world, not just to hear. Here's some food, here's some clothes, here's some this, that, and the other. It's in the name of Jesus. You are changing the world. You have given over. You are sacrificing. Sacrifice yourself. Give Jesus your essence, everything that you are. And you are being filled with Jesus. His will is your will. Think back years ago. Would you have done for this county, for this area, what you're doing now, if his will were not your will? What are you? And it's not like, all right, what are you withholding? But is there anything, like I still have a couple twigs. I want to give them to him, and he's ready. I may not be ready. I want him to take, I want him to have it all. His time is perfect, and I want my time to be just matching his time. Where are you with the divine romance, the sacred romance? Where's your subplot? We're human. We have subplots. Where is yours? Is the divine romance slowly? Oh. I hope that's where you are. I hope that's where I am. Let him fill you with himself. Let him have his will in you. It's a lifelong transformative process. But your purpose and the intimacy with Jesus Christ is beyond reproach, beyond anything else. May he bless you today. May he reveal himself in a place where maybe you're just a little eeny-beeny place that you've reserved. May he just fill it. And may you know, oh, Lord Jesus, I am yours, you are mine, we are one with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Blessed be his name from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Amen. Hmm.